This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
It's time for Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning. By the way, you can take us with you on the Odyssey app. It is February the 8th. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And normally, you know, we have a little lighthearted kind of, you know, we reach out to a certain community, but we're going to bring the music down and let you know that everybody thinking about you folks up in Roswell.
Yeah.
As we do a shout out to first responders on a regular basis, but Roswell, just dealing with, you know, heavy hearts this morning. The news that they had lost an officer yesterday
overnight.
And it was like I said, and it's all over the news. If you've not heard the story, but we wanted to just start the show as we pick a city and start our show with.
Right.
We wanted to reach out to the folks in Roswell.
Tragically, the first one in our state this year. I mean, we're in February, but the first officer to lose his life in the line of duty. And also, I think the first one in over 40 years.
Something like that,
in the city of Roswell. Man, our hearts go out to obviously people who are connected with him, his coworkers, his family, but everyone out in the Roswell community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, we are here, and yeah, a little bit of a – listen, we are the most flexible show I would imagine we got here to the station. Can we say that? And thanks to Noelle, she keeps us going, you and I. And listen, we're happy to be here.
Very much.
This ain't heavy lifting.
Very much.
So we got to wait, you know, push back a little bit because that's no
big deal.
On Super Bowl weekend.
How about that?
Lots of stuff going on. But let's start off with the fact that while it is Super Bowl – excuse me, it's been Super Bowl week. It's like the holiday season during Christmas time. You're supposed to be talking football from the end of the Pro Bowl last week through this week. But that hasn't been the case, Mr. Crenshaw.
It has not been the case this week.
And I think there was a little bit of payback.
You think it's payback?
I think it's a little bit of payback.
It seemed a little strategic, didn't it?
A little payback because, see, for the last, I don't know, umpteen years, we can say decades, Christmas has been owned by the NBA.
Yeah.
We look forward to those games. Look forward to where the Hawks are going to, when they're doing good, where the Hawks going to play on Christmas Day, those times that they have played. But not this year. While the NBA did have some games, they also had to deal with the juggernaut that is the NFL.
Right.
And that took away a little bit of their shine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they took great satisfaction this week as the trade deadline approached and all this movement happened that put the game that's going to happen tomorrow kind of on the, I won't say the back burner, but it was on the side burner. They didn't own the whole stove like they have in past years.
Right.
They had something else cooking over here, and it was just as important, and it got the conversation going.
Very much. NBA did that. Obviously, almost strategic to do it last weekend as the Pro Bowl weekend that was ignored by a lot of everybody. Right?
We fixed that, though.
What timing, right?
Yeah, you and I fixed that Pro Bowl situation for those who want a game. Now, people got to orchestrate it, but we've given you the idea. Somebody get The Rock on the phone and orchestrate a meeting between his people and him and whoever is in charge of putting together that Pro Bowl weekend.
Yeah.
And he's already, you know, they already have a relationship of some sorts. I don't know what you actually call it.
Mm-hmm.
But UFL gets ready to UFL gets ready to start soon. I'm not sure the actual date.
Yep. So why not have an exhibition during the weekend of a Pro Bowl?
Or maybe a first game. that actually counts.
It could be two.
Because you know
that
they're not gonna put no wagering on an exhibition game unless you really, you know, that person. But if you schedule, much like NASCAR,
yeah,
their World Series is the first race, right? But if you were to put a game or have it worked out where that game happens during Pro Bowl weekend,
mm-hmm.
I think it will boost everything up. So we already fixed that. We'll see what happens from it. But
yep.
How was your week, Mr. Crenshaw?
A lot of stuff happening this week.
Boy, you
ain't
kidding.
A lot of things happening. Boy, we had some players coming and going with our Hawks. And, boy, I was down there tonight for the San Antonio game. We were all kind of watching to see what's going to move, who's going to go, who's it going to be. And we found out the next day that Bogey and DeAndre Hunter are gone. And two players who have been a part of the team for a while were part of the core. And you have to think that if Jalen Johnson wasn't injured, you know, maybe Bogey goes because of the way he had been struggling this season and being inconsistent. But the way DeAndre Hunter was playing, I don't think you let go of this guy who's online to be your sixth man of the year. I mean, we finally figured out what to do with him. Bring him off the bench. All the time was it just, you know, let him come off the bench. And he was lighting it up. And now he goes to Cleveland, who's already in first place. And he goes up, and he won't have to do as much.
No.
He won't. You know, he can just pick his points and come in and, you know, give him 10 points a night, 12 points a night. They'd love it. And so,
Himself a ring.
You know what I mean?
Get himself a ring, you know?
And meanwhile, you wonder what happens next with this team. And I know we were talking about it yesterday here on 92.9 The Game, listening to the Dukes and Bell show yesterday, and they had Coonan on. and he's only going to tell you so much because he's not involved with player personnel and that type thing. Mm-hmm. He's more or less involved with the overall experience when you go to Hawks games. But that was the thing this week, what was going to happen. And so now what do you make of this team? What direction do they have? You know, Greg, you know, this team showed promise at times when everybody was healthy this season.
Right.
And if this team is able to go and finish in the top five in the East, I figured, okay, we're showing the direction we're going. Now you can wave in that player. You got this money to spend. You got that guy who's going, okay, all right, Atlanta, I want to come in and be a part of what you're doing and push you guys up to the top. And now it's going to be hard to get that.
Well, two wins in the last month and a half or whatever long it's been, it made it a little easier to do what they did.
Right.
So what are you going to do?
Yep.
It's.
And then they go out and win last night. Now, I mean, no Giannis, but they go out and get a win last night over Milwaukee, which I'm taking wins anytime we can get one. So it was good. But I was there, and I sent you a picture of Wimby. You know, you see the picture.
I saw you, and we were talking about him last week, too. We're talking about former Hawk Kevin Willis.
Right.
Who's a big drink of water himself.
Yeah, man.
And Wembley was, excuse me, son, would you like an autograph?
Yeah. He's looking down at Kevin Willis. I was like, oh, my goodness, that picture was incredible. When I saw him walk off the court at the end of the game, and Kevin Willis was with, because remember, Kevin Willis played at San Antonio mm-hmm. one time. And so he was there at the game, and I talked with him. I said, how you think he's going to do it? He said, he's going to be great, man. He's a game changer. And that's what Kevin Willis had to say about it. He's somebody who played in the league for a very long time. And so it was neat to get his perspective at that game when San Antonio. But he come off the floor. I was like, look at this tall drink of water. He walks over, and he's looking down at Kevin Willis. I was like, whoa.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're going to talk more Hawks coming up later on the show. Like I said, you have us until 10 o'clock. We are we're going to be talking a lot of football throughout this show, throughout the day here at the radio station. But you mentioned the Hawks, and I want to remind you, you can't get in front of a TV. We got Hawks at Washington tonight, pregame at 6:30, tip at 7. But before then, Kansas at Kansas State. I call the dude Lurch. They're big man there. He used to be at Michigan. I forgot his name. But the center, who they always – now they use him in the promos. It'll come to me in a second.
Okay.
But he just lumbers up and down the court. I can't believe he's still at eligibility, but he's pushing things out there. So Kansas State, we got that game for you. Pregame at 1:45, tip at 2:00. And of course, we will have the Super Bowl tomorrow for you. And everything gets started here at 2 p.m. Kick is at 6:30. Hawks are at Orlando on Monday. We'll have that game for you too. So again, we are turning the corner into the NBA season. We also got Tim Scarborough. He's going to be joining us. Supposed to join us last week. He's doing games with Charlie Neal.
Yeah.
And
he's going to talk some college basketball with
talk
him. He's down to Tuskegee. But he's right down the road from the number one college basketball team. That's Auburn.
Yeah.
And so we'll get a chance to talk with him about that some.
But as I asked you how your week was, let's do our story of the week.
It's time for Sam and Greg's Story of the Week.
Could be sports.
Grapefruit League activity.
Could be news.
Could be entertainment.
This is our first time on the VMAs.
It could be, well, anything.
You know what I'm saying?
Sam and Greg's Story of the Week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Sam and Greg.
This isn't my story of the week, and I actually a few days ago thought about making it my story of the week, but then things changed. But we're going to get into this later on because during the casting call segment, which will be about 8:40, I'm going to do a deep dive into this Grammy Awards from last week. There's some stuff in there that made me want to walk into traffic. But and Noelle feels the same way. She got some stories, and not the same. There's various things that happened during that show that we want to talk about. But my my story of the week was the NFL and the MVP announcement.
Okay.
Well,
how'd you feel?
Well,
because I'm saving that my thoughts on that for tomorrow for my cheers.
Okay.
Three cheers or three cheers.
Okay. Well, I could speculate on why. It's not unheard of that he got it. It just reminded me of a couple times in the past where you knew that there was another person who should have got it, but they gave it to this other person.
Mm-hmm.
The first one that popped into my mind was Barkley. Charles Barkley getting his one and only MVP when it should have gone to Jordan. Noel brought up, when we were talking about it earlier, that was the other one popped into my mind, but it was on her forefront, and that was when Steve Nash got his over Kobe.
Okay.
So that's the kind of stuff that popped into my head. But I could not believe it when you repeat the numbers that this dude did.
Yeah.
They made a case. All right, so, and God bless him. And one of my best friends, big Baltimore fan, in fact, one of the best cooks on set in the film industry here in Atlanta, name's Chuck. He's a big Buffalo fan. And I like watching Josh Allen. That just made me turn my head and make a Scooby-Doo noise. Okay, so that's my story of the week.
Right.
I have another one I'm going to talk about, but I'm going to save that for later on. How about yourself?
You mentioned Michael Jordan, and that's the story for me for this week, something that he did, and a legacy-type thing. And we got sound from him. Noel, can play that? Play it.
It's good to be home, first and foremost. That's what this clinic is about. When the families are not able to support, we're there to support. If you don't have any money, doesn't matter. We're going to do whatever we can to support you. Because that's what happened to me. That's where I got it from. So we did it in Charlotte, and now we're going to do it here in Wilmington, which makes it even more special because this is home. This is where I came from. And no matter how you see Michael Jordan, this is where I started. This is where I'm always going to be a part of.
Yeah, getting quite emotional.
Hang on a second. I didn't see this footage.
But Michael Jordan is the second Novant Health Michael Jordan Family Medical Clinic. He's did this in his hometown of Wilmington.
Right.
And, you get a stage in life where you do legacy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's going to last longer than you're going to last right now and impact some people. $10 million.
He had that on him.
Right, but to do this clinic in his hometown for mm-hmm. people who are underserved or underinsured. And so I think that in this week when we noticed a lot of different things that are happening, I thought it was pretty cool he went back to his roots, back to his hometown. And
he got emotional?
People, oh, man, he broke up.
I see, that's how you can tell
it. Broke all the clinics and everything, but we went through a box. but I mean, and his mom was there with him. So, I mean, it was very special. He's doing that. So it's neat to see when somebody like that is touched by something they get to do with some folks. So
nice.
I miss my story.
Nice. All right. Hey, and listen, as we gotten older, you notice that? Let me just tell you young folks something. You're not going to be able to explain it. It's just going to happen to you. As you get older, for whatever reason, you find yourself going, why am I crying at this? Why?
Yeah.
You know, that happening to you much more? Then I tear up and stuff. Yeah. I'm going, what's wrong with me? Why am I doing? So it's coming. It's around the corner for y'all.
Absolutely.
We're telling you right now. You will get emotional and stuff. You don't know why. It'll just happen.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, on the heels of that, when you said his mother was there with him, just a quick acknowledgement, a little prayer. Tiger Woods lost his mother.
Yeah.
This past week.
In news. And he announced that he will play next week. He was going to play next week. It's the Genesis tournament that's normally played at Riviera, which is near Palisades.
Right,
so
yeah.
They're going to play it at Torrey Pines, which has been like
his
backyard.
That's his place. He's won like so 8-9 times there.
So they're moving the tournament. So he is going to play next week.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. We got a little bit late start, but that's all right. We're going to keep this thing going here. Tim Scarborough will join. What city is he in? I know he's calling the game.
He's in Tuskegee.
He's in Tuskegee? Good for him.
He ready for a game that we'll be able to watch on TV here today, but it's getting some college basketball. We're going to talk with him.
We're going to find out what Bruce Pearl's got in the water over there in Auburn. That is up next. Sam and Greg on the Saturday morning Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is a Saturday morning, February the 8th. Thank you for letting Sam and I be a part of your weekend mornings. We'll be back tomorrow, Super Bowl Sunday. I had to throw this on because not only did this song, Sam, hit, and we're not talking about Russell Baxter here either. This song hit number one on this day. But that's not the only reason I played this. If you guys saw the Grammys last week, and this, I think it was the song of the year when it was announced, and Kendrick won it, and Diana Ross gave out the award.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got starstruck.
Oh, yeah,
man. He goes, man, that's Diana Ross. They cut off some of what he was saying, but it's nice to see something like that. You can do the age cutoff, whatever, 30 and under, 20 and 40 and under, whatever it is. But when you get that performer who's it, now,
right,
and
right.
They see somebody from, Stevie Wonder gonna always get it, but Diana Ross don't make that many different appearances. Plus, she's Diana Ross. But he stopped and he's like, "Man, look at that! I'm standing on stage with Diana Ross. That was kind of fun. I enjoyed that."
Yeah, Miss Ross about stopped the show, didn't she?
She did. She
Ross the boss.
And normally I don't like hearing. She kind of rubs me the wrong way. I love her singing, but sometimes she just goes, it's too diva. But I realized she kind of invented the word, her and
she did.
Two other folks.
Yeah, man.
That in the concert in Central Park with the boy.
Oh, yeah, with the hair and all that. They had the
wind. Yeah,
the wind blowing everywhere and people hanging out the trees.
Gotta have it.
Who did that first? Her or Streisand?
With the wind.
When you think of the word diva, both of them are there. Who was the one that brought it to the forefront?
I don't remember which one, but
they were like neck and neck, right?
Well,
they're kind of neck and neck.
Around the same time.
Yeah.
Like when you hear the stories of
Wait. You're gonna keep talking. You got to give us something.
Oh, well, good morning. How we doing?
There we go. Well, we got a guest coming on.
We're gonna get Tim on here.
Yeah, he bought this record when it came out. We're gonna welcome from Tuskegee, Mr. Tim Scarborough. We'll teach you to bump us from last week. We're gonna talk for a little bit. Anyway, good morning, Tim.
Morning, Tim.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I'm down here in Tuskegee, Alabama, covering Miles versus Tuskegee today on CW69. So tune in if you can.
Okay, absolutely. Sorry about that little back and forth. We started going down a rabbit hole and we forgot you were there.
Yeah, I heard that shot you took too, Greg. I did not buy Diana Ross's album.
What did a few weeks ago that he called me old?
Yes.
Okay.
I knew you would not forget that.
But that's okay. That is not all you are going to do. You also have something else you would like to do. We're going to allow you to do that because we love you. And he has something to say about what happens tomorrow.
Yeah,
but let's talk some college basketball.
Goodness.
Yeah, let's talk some college basketball
First of all, you're in Tuskegee. You work in the game, and you're working alongside Charlie Neal, right? You've been doing this all season, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty much glued to the hip with Charlie. It's been fun, man. He's a living legend. He's in 5 Halls of Fame, and the guy, you can't walk through the building without getting stopped by people. You guys are talking about starstruck and everything like that. Nobody knows me, but everybody knows Charlie Neal. So people get starstruck when they say, "Hey, Mr. Charlie," blah, blah, blah. And I'm just sitting here invisible. So,
Tim, welcome to my world. Because that's the same thing with Sam.
That's the same thing walking with Sam. Not at all.
But you said something that can't be glossed over. 5 Hall of Fames. Can you name them? Because I didn't know that he was in 5.
Yes, I can name a few. I know the conferences usually put them in. So the SWAC, the SWAC just put them in, and I know the MEAC has put them in, and I believe he's in a Journalism Hall of Fame. But yeah, you know, I'd have to go wake Charlie up and ask him.
don't do that. Don't do that because the game's coming later on today. The conference tournament is going to be played here in Atlanta, right? Remind people, the first week in March, I think the SIAC tournament is going to be here in town. And then the next week, the SWAC tournament will be here in town.
Yes. Yeah, and two leagues I cover, and I've been covering HBCUs the last three seasons. And it was really my first exposure to the HBCUs in terms of basketball. You know, I've had friends that played HBCUs, and, you know, so I've occasionally watched their careers. In fact, one of my good friends I grew up with played, Stephen A. didn't play, but Stephen A. was on the team at Winston-Salem. My friend Monte Roth.
Yeah.
Yeah, Monte.
Okay.
Monte's the head coach at North Carolina A&T now.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of followed it through him over the years when they were at Winston-Salem. But, yeah, it's a good brand of basketball, man. I've had a lot of fun covering it. This is my first Division II game, SIAC, but I've come down to Tuskegee just to watch, and it feels no different than a Division I game, honestly, at least with those two, as well as Clark Atlanta, really good SIAC team.
Yeah, spending time on the waitforit.com hotline this morning with Tim Scarborough. He is social. You can find him at TimScar20 at TimScar20. Now, right down the road from Tuskegee is the number one college basketball team. Auburn's a short drive away from there. What's in the water down there?
Yeah, really.
At Auburn as you watch them this season?
You know, I was on their campus last night. I had to go get me a late night milkshake so I could keep studying my teams. And man, the atmosphere, I mean, you could just feel the energy, you know. It wasn't even game night, but you can just kind of tell. Everyone's walking around as if, you know, as if they're Philadelphia Eagles fans, like they know they're going to win it all. You know what I'm saying? Not to segue into that. But yeah, the Auburn Tigers are a really good team. They got the player of the year candidate in Jonai Broome. And he got hurt, missed a few games, but they didn't miss a beat. Even within that game, he got hurt. I remember the game. He twisted his ankle, and then Auburn goes on a 10-0 run as if they just didn't lose the best player in the country. But, yeah, Bruce Pearl's got them really going. 20-1. The only loss this year was to Cooper Flag and Duke. And, boy, it would be great to watch a rematch of that at some point in late March, early April.
Well, you know, did we lose him? You still there with us, Tim?
Yeah, I'm still
okay. Sound like you cut off there for a minute. Tim Scarborough joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You know, as I watched the season, and Sam has been, and I've been talking about what has been happening in the SEC, I have been watching it for the last few weeks a little closely, and it kind of reminds me of when I first started watching NASCAR, Sam, in that whoever was winning, you thought this person was going to win, you pick the race, whatever. But if you didn't look over your shoulder, Dale Earnhardt was always kind of creeping up, and he was always a part of things.
Yeah.
The Dale Earnhardt right now I'm talking about in college basketball is Duke. We've been talking about the SEC all year, right?
Yeah.
But sitting there at 19-2 is Duke. And could they prevail? And when you think about this team this year, where do you put them compared to what we're watching with Auburn right now?
Duke's the better team. You know, and I've seen both teams in person. The way Con Canupo kind of complements what Cooper Flagg does, and Duke's loaded, man. They have two McDonald All Americans that came out of Virginia, and they just, and not to mention Cooper Flagg, who was certainly the player of the year as a high school player. I mean, they really put it together, and it's kind of a contrast when you think about. The last few years, North Carolina lost their legendary coach in Roy Williams. Coach K retired from Duke. But Duke hasn't missed a beat, really. I mean, they're back on top. And unfortunately, North Carolina may not even make the tournament. But this Duke team is good enough to win it all. And it's going to be really, really hard to beat them. In fact, no one's beaten them yet in conference play. And that says a lot because in the ACC, typically, even the better teams – we'll lose one or two games. But, you know, it's a very unusual year in terms of watching North Carolina fade to the middle. You got Stanford in the conference now. You know, everything's just kind of hokey and weird. But, you know, the Canes, Miami's at the bottom because Jim Larranaga retired.
Yeah.
Virginia's near the bottom because Tony Bennett retired. It's just been a crazy year in the ACC. But one thing that hasn't changed is that the Duke Blue Devils are extraordinarily good once again.
Yeah, you mentioned Cal and Stanford. They're due to come through town this week to play Georgia Tech. So
we'll get our, isn't it?
They go get their frequent flyer miles, right? We're going to get a chance to check them out for the first time as conference members. Tech, meanwhile, getting some things kind of turned around. They got Virginia today. They're going to try to win their third straight. They had to play three overtimes to get by Clemson this week. That's big for Damon Stoudemire.
And beating Clemson is big, correct. Clemson is a really good team this year, 10-2 in conference play, 18-5 overall. Yes, that was a big win for Coach Stoudemire. Georgia Tech, to me, and you know, we go back to Josh Pastner's days, good friend of mine. I just feel like they're a mid-major team, and they just don't look like the old Georgia Tech teams that people in Atlanta are used to. Now, Damon Stoudemire is recruiting a slightly higher recruit, and I believe they will start looking like an ACC team. But like mid-majors, sometimes they do beat the majors, right? So Georgia Tech got a really good win versus Clemson. And that's not to disparage what Stoudemire is doing. It's just his second season here. And I do think he will get this program back to where, in my opinion, it should be. I mean, Georgia Tech is a great job. Here in Atlanta, you know, you got the talent pool of Georgia, and it's obviously a great academic school. I think somebody can get that thing going like Bobby Crimmins had it, like, you know, in the early 2000s when they went to the Final Four with Chris Bosh. Yeah. It'd be nice to get around that. Maybe I'd go up into Midtown a little bit more and watch them play, right?
There you go.
Well, yeah.
All right, Greg, before we let him go, we got to ask him about tomorrow.
We got, you know, we'll let you tell everybody who you're pulling for and why.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I grew up in Philadelphia, and even though I've lived in Atlanta for 10 years now, the question gets asked, hey, where are you from? Without hesitation, I say Philadelphia. And I haven't lived in Philadelphia since the 1990s, early, before, you know, out of college. So, yes, Greg, I'm old.
But, I'm past that. I got my shot in. We're not going to go there no more.
But, yeah, all I can say is fly, Eagles, fly. I think they're the better team. But, you know, with that monster Patrick Mahomes lurking on the other side, you just never know. The Eagles are better. Doesn't mean they're going to win the game. But I have in my gut telling me that the Eagles are going to win it. And if it's close, the Chiefs will probably pull it out because they do every time, right?
Yep.
But the Eagles are going to have to go out and play a really good game early and try to get a big lead and then hope they don't do what, I'm sorry to bring it up, what the Atlanta Falcons did years ago.
All right, let's do this. Let's get his opinion on something that you and I talked about earlier. I made kind of a little thing about it, but since he keeps bringing up the old thing here. Have you noticed, Tim, because Sam and I said, you know, as we've gotten older, for whatever reason, because we're listening to the Michael Jordan sound, he was inaugurating a clinic in his hometown of Wilmington, and he got very, very emotional. And I said to Sam, you know, as I'm getting older, have you noticed you start getting emotional about stuff and crying more? Has that happened to you, sir? Do you find yourself getting a little bit more emotional over things that you just see, he's laughing. You know, I'm right. Right? You go, why am I getting all misty about this? Has that happened to you?
I'll say tomorrow there's going to be tears shed in either direction, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
You know, if they win tomorrow, yeah, I will be emotional. If they lose tomorrow, yes, I will be a little bit going, man, you know, I'll be like James Ingram, you know, just once we could like to break through.
Next time we have him on, we'd have him break into a song.
Yeah, we got to do that.
There you go.
Tim, man, we love having you on. We're going to offer you some walk-on music here pretty soon.
I know that's right. Folks,
there we go.
You can watch
that.
You can watch him later today on Atlanta 69. It's Tuskegee against Miles. He'll be on the call along with Charlie Neal. Tim Scarborough, always great catching up with
man.
You, man. You guys have a great call today.
And enjoy the game tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Fly, Eagles, fly, baby.
There you go. It's Tim Scarborough. We're going to get more opinions throughout the show. We got Aaron Ladd. Channel 46 is going to join us. He used to, you know, follow all the movements in Kansas City. And then, of course, another Philly man, Gil Tyree, will be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you on the Odyssey app.